The next story will probably interest you if you're a big rugby fan. Perhaps you're looking forward to Ireland trying to bid to host the 2023 Rugby World Cup. You would love to see that event come to Ireland, and particularly games maybe coming to Ravenhill. Well, a change in Northern Ireland's licensing laws or lose one of the biggest sporting events in the world. That seems to be a bit of a choice at the moment. It's certainly the message from the head of Ulster Rugby. Shane Logan has told a Stormont committee that if the alcohol laws aren't changed here, then the bid to host the Rugby World Cup in Ireland will have to be withdrawn. Travel writer Heidi McAlpine is on the line. So too is the Reverend David McElveen and Jerry White, who's the bar manager at the John Hewitt and also Belfast chairman of Hospitality Ulster. Jerry, if I can start with you, I mean, hearing what was said yesterday, what Shane Logan was saying, do you appreciate and understand where he's coming from here in terms of the current licensing, how it works?
Good morning, Joe. Yes, certainly. I mean, if we're going to build a reputation and bid for these massive big events, we'll have to bring ourselves up to date with the rest of Europe and the rest of the world with our licence.
So can you put a bit of flesh on the bones here for us? I mean, he's saying that currently they have a match coming up that they have to apply for a temporary licence on a game-to-game basis, but they only know, apparently, if they're going to get this occasional licence on the day of the game, and there's no certainty that they're actually going to get one.
Exactly. That's the big issue here, is that the fact they're applying for an occasional licence. There's no guarantee that they'll get that licence. Now, okay, they've never been refused a licence, so, I mean, that stands to their credit and their record. But to bid for the World Cup in 2023, you can't do it and say, okay, guys, we want to build for this world event, but we don't know if we're going to have a licence, but we'll tell you on the day. And that is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we're already up against the Republic of Ireland. They have a 9% tourist VAT rate. We're fighting against that. We're fighting against so many things. And to have something as silly as this, you know, it really does need to be sorted.
Yeah, the key to this, Heidi, appears to be that a lot of events, the World Cup obviously being the most high profile, that perhaps could be hosted, Heidi, at the Kingspan Stadium at Ravenhill or any venue here. You know, a lot of the organisers will be saying, right, there has to be a guarantee that you're going to be able to have a licence. And while the occasional licence has never been refused, Shane Logan is making the point that currently they can't give that undertaking.
That's right, and if we were to lose out on the Rugby World Cup in 2023, well, that would be a shame on everyone, on every legislator up on the Hill who chooses to block this amendment. I mean, we should be working on, if you may, I'm sorry about the sporting pun, but we are not on a level playing field here. The GB and Ireland have different licensing laws. Every year this comes up as an issue, not necessarily about the big sporting events, but this hopefully will push it over the line, so to speak, and get the whole big debate opened again and changes made. This is the problem, because we do have very draconian licensing laws when compared with the rest of GB and Ireland. As I say, over Easter you have to shut early, and through the week as well we have to stop serving alcohol earlier than the rest of the UK, and it does curtail and makes us look like a laughing stock when it comes to people coming here from overseas. This is what we want. We want them to spend their tourism dollar or whatever denomination they have and pump money back into the economy. And speaking of which, millions upon millions of pounds has been spent redeveloping Kingspan, Casement Park's happening, obviously Windsor Park, the National Football Stadium as it is now. So then why spend all that money making these state-of-the-art facilities only to say, well, you can't have big international tournaments that are going to be big money spinners because you don't have the correct licensing laws in place?
Reverend McElveen, would you be happy to see a relaxing of these laws if it meant bringing a big event like the World Cup here, or a relaxing of the laws to help accommodate perhaps the World Cup coming here?
Well, obviously, Joel, I come from a Christian and therefore a biblical perspective on the whole issue of the consumption of alcohol. But I find it very strange that last week the public were being informed through the chief medical officer about the need to limit the unit intake of alcohol. And now today we're actually discussing extending the opportunities for its provision to sporting events. Now, I don't obviously frequent public houses, but I'm of the opinion, and Jerry can correct me here, that it's only those who are over 18 that can actually go into a public bar and drink alcohol. Whereas in the like of the Kingspan Stadium or Windsor Park, you have young children going to these events, and therefore they are going to be subjected to the availability of alcohol.
Yeah, but they can't be served.
They can't be served, but at the same time, they can't go into a public house where alcohol is being served. And therefore, to me, this is a major concern and certainly a contradiction. Now, if the spectators are going purely and simply for the pleasurable side of the occasion, drinking alcohol, then I think it minimises their interest in the sporting event. For example, if a sportsman went onto the field under the influence of alcohol, the spectators would be the first to say he is not living or playing up to his par.
So you would be prepared to see Ireland and Northern Ireland, two sporting venues in Northern Ireland, miss out on the Rugby World Cup rather than extend the licensing laws?
Personally, I would. But I mean, the argument surely, Joel, is that the sporting event rises above the issue of licensing laws. People are interested in the sporting event, full stop. That should be the interest, not this additional...
But the point is that the organisers, they say that the provision has to be there before you can actually make the bid. That has to be one of the conditions before you can bid to have this event.
Well, I think that really is, in my view, a very sad thing that people have to add an alcohol extension to a sporting event which should stand on its own, creating its own excitement and its own interest for the people.
Heidi?
If I may say to Reverend McElveen that the whole nature of alcohol consumption, whilst of course it does have negative impact on you medically and your health, if you do consume it in large quantities, binge drink, that type of thing, but it's a more sophisticated argument than that. And you can't impose your personal beliefs onto society as a whole. You can't do that. Prohibition didn't work in America. It pushed it underground and it was stopped. Prohibition was cancelled.
I don't think Heidi.
We are a fast-changing society, and we need to be trusted as adults into whether to regulate our own social drinking.
I don't think Heidi. I'm trying to enforce my opinion. I'm actually just expressing my point of view.
Well, that's fair enough.
And I think other people's
opinions too.
Yes, of course, and that's what the discussion is all about. That you're always going to have at least two sides to the one argument.
Jerry,
I
wanted to ask you, Jerry, about other benefits to the industry, about the extension or changing the licensing laws.
I mean, if I can just sort of correct Reverend McElveen right away on one point. Children under 18 are allowed in public houses. Now, obviously, they're not allowed to drink. It depends on the children's permit that premises have. Some are conserve have children on their premises to 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. And a family can sit around a table, be completely responsible, have a bottle of wine, have their children at the table. I mean, we need to get rid of this taboo about alcohol.
What about other areas where this would apply an extension of a new licensing bill? Because people, in your industry will look at this and say, well, hang on a minute. Why all of a sudden are we making special exceptions for sports arenas and sports grounds and we're being squeezed in our end of the business?
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, Joel, if we're going, this brings tourism to the country, and the fact that the rugby has never been refused an occasional license in the past proves the fact that when they get one, that they're using it completely and utterly responsibly. Now, just on the other point about the abuse of alcohol and the binge drinking, the biggest problem with binge drinking and people who drink too much are people who are buying cheap alcohol from supermarkets. If someone goes to an event, like a rugby match, or go to a pub for a lunch or a meal or a dinner, or just to socialise and meet friends, they're doing it under a controlled and responsible situation. They're in an environment where trained barmen are actually keeping an eye and would never serve anybody once they think they've maybe had too much. I have seen drunk people get into a supermarket and ban alcohol, where they take it home, and none of the drink that they're being is measured or monitored. So it's insane to say that this is to do with sort of evoking sort of people to drink more. Go to a match, have one beer, one glass of wine. Most people drink responsibly. The majority of people who go to pubs and events now go to socialise and meet friends. They don't go to get drunk.
Robert's in Belfast this morning. Morning, Robert.
Good morning, Joel. I'm a taxi driver and a person who's on the ground every weekend. And what happens here, the licensing laws are ancient. And what happens, legally you're not permitted to sell alcohol after 1 o'clock in the morning. So let's theorize, Joel, that people are generally out socializing. What happens, say, from 12 towards 1? People go up to the bar and order all sorts of drinks. And then they're rushing the drink into them because they're going to be put off the premises at 1 o'clock in the morning.
They stockpile on their table? Is that what you're saying, Robert?
Yep. I'll give you an example. Me and you and other people are out. And the next thing you're saying, I'm saying to you, way up and get three pints, I'll get three vodkas, et cetera, et cetera. And what happens then? People are rushing alcohol into them. And then this is only visible on a Friday and Saturday night where it's generally more busy.
Is that not going to happen no matter what time they close at?
No. See, if you follow the proper line here, if it's an extended licensing law, then people here, I'm sure you've sussed this yourself, people drink very, very quick. And what happens is, then people are out onto the streets, and everybody's standing about the streets, and that's where it causes problems for the PSNI, NEs, taxi drivers, etc.
Okay.
So but hear me out, Joel. The licensing laws have to be extended. We have to live in the 21st century here. And the bottom line here is, people will drink why somebody likes it or dislikes it.
Okay, I want to get Alex in, because Alex is waiting. He's in Lisburn this morning. Morning, Alex.
Morning. No, I've heard the Reverend McElveen, and I mean, his logic is, because the government says you shouldn't drink too much, you shouldn't be allowed to drink at all. I mean, they might as well close down the burger farms outside Ravenhill. They might as well close down. You know, well, they're closing down Arsh's Bakery to sell us all those lovely buns. Obesity is a bigger problem, I think, in Northern Ireland than access drink. Should we close down the home bakeries? You know, that's the logic of that's the logic we're hearing. In Northern Ireland, we have a problem with alcohol. Maybe people like the Reverend McElveen and people who push that attitude should maybe ask themselves, have they made it better or have they made it worse?
Reverend McElveen?
Well, obviously, it's not me that's pushing the thought of reducing the unit intake. That's a government policy. But my attitude is that we can live without alcohol. If we need alcohol to actually enhance our socialisation, I think it really beggars the question as to what really our friendship and our fellowship with people really amounts to.
But Alex is saying as well, you can live without burgers.
Reverend, what about public choice? What about people having the choice?
Well,
you may choose to live without alcohol, but that doesn't mean you have the right to force everybody else to. And that's basically what you're trying to do. And that's the point they're making. Why not force? You can live without cream buns. I'm a diabetic. I try not to eat cream buns. I can live without cream buns. But I'm not saying to you, you shouldn't have any.
That's right. And I mean, my position is not coming from a legislative position. I'm coming from a biblical position where I believe what the Bible teaches with regard to the subject of wine being a mocker and strong drink is raging. And
Reverend,
whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We see the effects of alcohol throughout our society. It's not a pleasant effect. And therefore, it's only but right that we should point out to people the dangers that are associated.
Alex, are you a rugby fan, Alex?
I went once, and I did see people standing about drinking beer.
Are you a big sports fan?
I'm not a big sports fan, but if somebody wants to go and queue up for a pint and bring a pint down and stand with a plastic glass and drink a pint of Guinness while they watch the rugby, I don't see a problem.
And Jerry, just finally from you, I mean, if we do reach a point where the legislation isn't changed, and as a result, a potential bid to host the Rugby World Cup is lost, I mean, how big a blow would that be in 30 seconds?
And it's not even just the Rugby World Cup, it's other world events. And just the Reverend McElveen says he's not coming to us from a legislative point of view, he's doing it from a biblical point of view. So can I just say then, why did God make a point to turn the water into wine at the wedding?
Can I
answer that, Jerry? If you read that parable in John 2, it says, and after that his disciples believed in him. If people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be the greatest message that they could receive.
Heidi, 10 seconds from you.
Well, I'm going to France Euro 16 this year, Joel, and I'll be in the fan zone, and I will have one or two pints in the open air, and I will enjoy it, and I will drink sensibly, and it will enhance and add to my experience of the event.
Heidi, Reverend McElveen, Jerry, thank you all very much.